Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, it is Throwback Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Steve Cypress here, and I'm going to throw it all the way back to 1986. I remember this well because I had just recently graduated from law school, reminding me that I got an email a week or two ago notifying me of my 35th law school anniversary. What the heck? Wow. And of course, in this ridiculous world, they're doing it virtually. And I'm, of course, still not attending. Anyway, I digress. I do remember the case well. First of all, big sports fan. And second of all, I had just graduated from law school. And this is where the USFL, this upstart spring football league. Anyone that doesn't remember, you can look it up. I'd say it's an interesting, fun story. It's a typical Trump story, which is why what's going on now with Trump just reminds me of it. Basically, what happened was this upstart league said, we're going to compete with the NFL, but we're going to play in the spring. Few changes. We're going to play in the spring. We're going to have a low salary cap so that we don't compete with the NFL for superstars. We don't have to spend a lot of money to get talent. And they did some kind of local thing with the draft, I remember, where each team was going to get more local players, which supposedly would encourage more local fans to show up to watch, you know, a college player graduates from, you know, wherever, Michigan University, and goes to wherever. But they were like, well, whatever schools they went to, if we draft them regionally, people that are their fans for a few years will still show up and be their fans. Anyway, whole bunch of innovations, this USFL. But the main thing was they were playing in the spring. And they played a couple of years in the spring, or 3 years or something like that. And then they said, I take it back. It's not really they. It's Donald Trump. So Donald Trump comes up with a brilliant idea of, all right, this small fry league is not for me because I'm a big shot. Even back then, he was a big shot. And I'm too good for this small fry league. He had a team in New Jersey called the New Jersey Generals. Drafted Herschel Walker, by the way. And now Herschel Walker is a big pro-Trumper all over the place. I think he spoke at the Republican convention and all that. So they go way back. Doug Flutie also. I went to Boston College Law School, and then Doug Flutie went to, it was too small for the NFL, they said, so he went to the USFL, and then I think he went to the Canadian Football League, and he was still winning all over the place, won the Heisman Trophy, won all over the place, finally went to the NFL, played for the Chicago Bears, I think. Anyway, I digress. So, yes, as you can see, big sports fan. Trump says this league is small fry and is playing in the spring and not signing the big players. That's not for me. I'm a big shot. And he always wanted an NFL franchise. And I've spoken about this before with his whole big fight with the NFL over the last few years. Again, thinking he's the big shot. He's the president, so he can bully the NFL. Let's see how that worked out for him. USFL says after the third season, I think it was, of 1985, Trump goes, that's it. Let's play in the fall. Let's move to the fall, like the NFL plays in the fall. Only we will not directly compete with the NFL. See, we'll play like on Sunday nights and things like that, which I think the next year the NFL started playing on Sunday Night Football. A whole bunch of innovations in the USFL that made sense. I think another part of it was kind of defensively. Like Pete Rozelle, who ran the NFL back then, was like, hey, let's not even allow anyone else to even think of playing on Sunday nights. We're taking Sunday nights. So now we have Monday night, Sunday night, all day Sunday. I think now they have Thursday night or whatever. It's also defensively stops any of the league from coming in because already college has a whole Saturday and high school has Friday night lights. And so there you go. But anyway, Trump says, that's it. We're going to compete. We're going to go to fall football because people like football in the fall. And we're going to sort of compete with the NFL. See, not play the games at the same time, but certainly there's only one back page of the newspapers, no internet in those days. We're going to compete for attention on the airwaves, on TV, with the highlights and, you know, games that watch the NFL during the day, they watch the USFL at night, kind of like we're right there with them, because Trump's ulterior motive, of course, was to force a merger with the NFL. That was his big diabolical plan, that, see, if we do this, they'll say, whoa, and they'll want to merge. Well, yeah, they were like, yeah, nah, no big deal. So Trump's next brilliant move, and he's made a, this is where it's just reminiscent what's going on now, he's made an entire career. People haven't followed him. See, I grew up in New York following his antics my whole life, and he's made a career of lawsuits. Bullying people, threatening lawsuits, suing people, being sued by people. He's just Mr. Litigious Lawsuit Guy. And so, is it shocking what he's doing now? He's filing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, attempting to win an election via lawsuit, even if he didn't win it via election, which, in my opinion, I mean, finally, do we have everyone agreeing that, of course, there's fraud in voting? All we heard for a while was like, no, there's no voter fraud, but there's always vote. Wait, I'm sorry. My response to those people is always, that's right. Voting is the one single lone area in all of human existence where there's no cheating or fraud. Of course there's cheating or fraud. It's such a big money game for the donors. I mean, it really matters to the donors. And in this case, the Trump matters to the candidate. Like, it's like he takes it personally, of course, as with everything. So, it's a really big stakes game. Of course there's cheating. Of course there's fraud. The issue is the fraudsters are usually really good at getting away with it. What do you tell? This is America. Like, anyone remember the OJ trial? Like, you remember Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell? Joe Biden, you name it. Comey, McCabe, Strzok, all those people, like Clapper, Brennan, whatever. They prosecute people for lying to Congress, but then they go lie to Congress, and do they get brought up in charges? No. See, people, just the bigger you are in this country, usually, the better you are, the more likely you get away with things. And so whoever was harvesting ballots and bringing in truckloads of ballots, when Trump was ahead by whatever, however many votes he was ahead on election night, well, of course, the anti-Trumpers just bring in that many ballots plus, 30, 40,000 or so come in the dead of night and they count them. Like, this whole recount thing, what nonsense. Like, they're going to recount. It's not, the issue is not the counting of the ballots. You know, I heard people saying poll workers, like, they frisked us and they searched us. And they wouldn't even allow us to have a pen in the place. Nobody could mark a ballot. There's no fraud in the actual ballot counting. The fraud is in the harvesting and the bringing in of the ballots. Well, what are you going to do? Now they're just ballots in piles. You're going to say, like, do you have film? Do you have some kind of video of them bringing these extra ballots? Of course not. Do you have the actual video of them harvesting and telling people and marking their ballots for them? What? Of course not. Okay, the cheaters know what they're doing. So, it doesn't look like Trump has a chance here. I mean, of course. Oh, and then it's like, oh, but dead people voted. Well, of course. How many? 100,000? No. 52. Like, it's probably not going to do it. And then 100 people were denied here in Arizona because they used the Sharpie or something. They were like 150 people. Like, I don't think that's going to do it either, 150. Like, so you're right. There's fraud. You're right. There's cheating. You're right. There's dead people voting. You're right. There's people that got mailed ballots when they shouldn't have. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. And guess what? You're going to be moving out of the White House. That's just what it looks like. I could be wrong. But that's what it looks like, and that's what reminds me of this USFL versus NFL. So he says, hey, we're going to sue the NFL. They're going to be forced to merge with us, and then I'll finally get what I want, an NFL franchise. Because Pete Rozelle and everyone else, basically, real billionaires, like, oh, I have always hated Trump. And they were like, no way you're getting into this old boys club of owning an NFL team. They were like, no way. And so he thought he'd force his way in, or like a, you know, cheap buy-in, like get an USFL team. That's way less expensive than buying an NFL team. And then bully your way, you know, sue your way in to the league. That was his big plan. And so they sued the USFL, this upstart football league, sued the NFL on antitrust grounds, claiming that the NFL had unfairly established a monopoly with the TV networks. And the TV networks had signed contracts that they would only show NFL games, and the USFL or any other football league couldn't get in there. It's a monopoly. Well, long story short, it's already a long story. I guess it's not short. As the sun is setting, spectacular sunset when I came out here. Now it's pretty much gone, but there were some beautiful pinks and purples and orange and yellow. Anyway, let's wrap it up here on Throwback Thursday. Bottom line is the trial went on like into the summer, I remember. It started in the spring and it was still going on in the summer, and they got to start training camp like, I don't know, in July or August, and the trial was kind of still going on. It was like, hey, are we going to get this over with? Because what's going to happen? Everything is up in the air. Like, they got to start playing in the fall, and is there going to be a merger? Is there going to be a, you know, whatever, appeals, loss, or what's going to happen? Well, what happened was Donald Trump and the USFL won. They won the lawsuit. You were right, the jury said. The NFL has violated the antitrust laws. They are operating a monopoly. Congratulations, USFL, you win. And so that's how it was announced in the courtroom. I remember reading about it. It was all dramatic. It was announced in the courtroom. Again, no cell phones, no internet back in those days. So it's announced in the courtroom. And then, when I remember correctly, the judge has to get the jury to agree. It's not like it is on TV, like, hey, guilty, that's it, we're done. Like, there's a lot of rigmarole in actual legal nonsense going on in court things. And from what I remember, the judge had to get the jury to agree that every single individual team had violated the antitrust. So the NFL violated the antitrust? Yes, that's what we found. Did you find that the Atlanta Falcons violated? Yes. Did you find that the whatever? Okay, went through all. So this takes like 5 minutes to go through all that. Meanwhile, from what I remember, the reporters are scurrying out of the room, calling in, putting it on the airwaves, you know, because they got a scoop. They got to be first. It's always, you know, the media is always all about being first, not being right. So they got to be first, and the news gets broadcasted out, and hey, the USFL won. They won the lawsuit. They won. And everyone's like, whoa, they won. And it's all like, you're kidding me. It's incredible. They're breaking into TV, breaking news. USFL won. This is amazing, earth-shattering. The NFL has been deemed a monopoly. It's amazing. Ooh, well, 5 minutes later, the judge goes, okay, and what the damages do you award them? They had sued for like $500 million in an antitrust lawsuits. All the damages are tripled. So the USFL stood to get like $1.5 billion, possible. That's what they sued for. I mean, a jury can award more or less, whatever. Magic word. I just let the cat out of the bag and said less. Because famously, they awarded less. As in, they handed a slip of paper like they're supposed to do right to the judge. And the judge reads it off and goes, okay, NFL is guilty of antitrust. And you find the damages are $1. $1! In other words, the jury was like, up yours, Trump. You win and you lose. We'll give you a buck. Oh, it's tripled to $3. And as rumor has it, like the owner of one of the teams, like, took out his wallet when that was announced, took out a $1 bill, handed it to Trump, and walked out of the room. Like, I guess he would have dropped the mic, too. But, like, boom. So, basically, and I think there was appeals, and the USFL kept appealing to get a new trial for damages or whatever. They lost, but they did win attorney's fees of some, however many, few millions of dollars. But the league was in debt over $100 million, thanks to Trump had already, by the way, violated that we're not going after top talent thing. And so the owners were spending tons of money, and they bought into this Trump nonsense. And Trump revealed himself in court, like he always does everywhere, to be the schmo that he is, because they were like, on cross-examination, they were like, yeah, you didn't do this just to sue them because you want to play on a Sunday night and be a USFL owner. You did it to get a merger. Oh, no, no, I didn't. Really? Because we have this witness says you did. Told him on the phone call. We have this memorandum you sent around your office. Or this. They had all this evidence. But, yeah, that's what you did. You were throwing your fellow USFL owners under the bus. And saying things like, I don't want to hang around these pipsqueaks and these lowlifes and these two-bit league and what? Oh, let's get into the NFL. And I know they won't accept all of us, but the crappy teams, they won't accept. And stuff like that, typical Trump stuff, like he always says about everybody. Like, everybody's a jerk and a loser and a whatever. And like, oh, he didn't say that. Right. Anyway, so that just brings us all the way back to today. Trump wins. Hey, you win. We'll overturn those 117 votes. You win, 32 people voted that were dead. You win, we'll do a recount, and there's no way that a recount ever is off by 14,000 votes. Again, I could be wrong about all this, but I believe that Trump, as always, as he has his whole career, has chosen to live and die by massive number of ever and never-ending lawsuits until he finally gets tired of. And this is why I agree with the Mitch McConnell, I can't believe I'm saying I agree with Mitch McConnell, who says, you know, look, let him go. Let it go. Let it play out. Like, let it play out. I agree. Let it play out. Finally, Trump will go, that's it. Finally, the pro-Trumpers will go, okay, that's it. I think they're already falling off. Like, every day there's less and less Trumpers that are believing that he's going to win and that he actually won the election or it's going to be overturned or whatever, little by little. Trump is going to come to the realization, okay, that's it. What am I doing next? Trump TV, Trump whatever, we'll see. You know, I think that's what he's going to do, plus a number of other things. But anyway, he won that lawsuit. Big news, big win. The NFL violating the antitrust laws. They're a monopoly. It's a huge win. For a buck, triple to three. Needless to say, but I'll say it anyway, in case you don't know, the USFL almost immediately disbanded. They were in the hole for like hundreds of millions of dollars. They got $3 plus attorney fees. They're gone. League over. Thank you, Trump. So, and then immediately the NFL like adopted all kinds of their innovations. They were like, yeah, lots of good stuff there. And they took all their good players. In fact, I think the number one team that benefited from the folding of the USFL was the Buffalo Bills. That's what led to the Buffalo Bills' dominance for straight league championships because they got Jim Kelly and I think Joe Cribbs, Marv Levy, their Hall of Fame coach, like an whole bunch of other players came up. Bill Polian, maybe? I think a whole bunch of people came to the Bills from the USFL and a bunch of other players as well. Anyway, so who won? Well, the NFL won. The fans won. The players won. They got to go play in the NFL. I don't know. You won by hearing this story and laughing at it. But who lost? Everyone in the USFL. All the owners lost. And Trump lost, and Trump is the one that led the way to that fiasco. And it just reminds me of what he's doing now. He can win these lawsuits in court and get a judge. I think I heard a judge today ruled something in one of the states, Pennsylvania or somewhere, that, I don't know, gave him a couple hundred votes or something. I don't know. Like, he can win like that. And a couple hundred votes in a presidential election that was decided by tens of thousands in a few states is tantamount to winning a lawsuit and getting $1. Tripled to $3. So Trump wins and loses at the same time, and I think that's what's happening now. He might win some of these challenges or lawsuits here in Arizona. They're like, yeah, It could overturn like a couple hundred votes. Judge is going to throw it out, going it's irrelevant. Even if I gave you those couple hundred votes, doesn't change anything. Let's move on. Okay, Trump, you won. You're right. There was fraud and you lost. And life goes on. Okay, I've lived through 10, soon to be 11 presidents, and I couldn't tell you that a single one of them, other than entertainment value, made any difference in my life. I refuse to let somebody I never even met somewhere make a difference in my life like that. This is America. Okay, one person, even if it's the President of the United States, is not going to make a difference in my life. Not this one, not the next one. We survived 8 years of Bush. We survived 8 years of Obama. We've now survived 4 years of Trump, and we'll survive 4 months or 4 weeks or 4 days or 4 years, or however long Biden can last until the dementia is so clear that he's gone. I mean, people forget the end of Reagan's second term, the dementia showing, the Alzheimer's. Like, you know, now it's showing before they even voted for him. That's how much people hated Trump. They voted for someone with Alzheimer's showing before he even ran for office. So, but anyway, we'll survive. We're America, damn it. We're the greatest country on earth. We've survived, we'll continue to survive. I will personally survive, and you watching this video should be an entrepreneur or a business owner, which means absolutely your fate is entirely in your own hands. Now what happens, it's how you respond to it. It's what strategies you use. It's how you handle it. And that'll do it for Throwback Thursday as some kind of mosquito is messing around now. I'm going to head inside. So that'll do it for Throwback Thursday. Thanks for being here today, and I'll catch you tomorrow on Foundation Friday. Over and out. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making.